Continuation of number 3858. Concerning the inheritances, and how they were assigned to the several tribes, which are there also mentioned by name, see chapter 48, verse 1, etc. And concerning the gates of the city, according to the names of the tribes of Israel, see the same chapter, verses 31 to 34. That by tribes there are not meant tribes is very plain, for the 10 tribes were already at that time dispersed through the whole earth. Neither did they afterwards return, nor can they ever return, for they are become Gentiles. And yet mention is made of each tribe, and how they should inherit the land, and what should be the boundaries of each, namely, what boundary for the tribe of Dan, verse 2, what for the tribe of Asher, verse 3, what for Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Judah, what should be the inheritance of the Levites, what the boundary of Benjamin, what of Simeon, of Issachar, of Zebulun, and of Gad, verses 4 to 29. Also that the city should have 12 gates according to the names of the tribes of Israel, that 3 should be toward the north, for Reuben, Judah, and Levi, 3 toward the east, for Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan, 3 toward the south, for Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun, and 3 toward the west, for Gad, Asher, and Naphtali, verses 31 to 34. Thus it is evident that by the 12 tribes are signified all things of the Lord's kingdom, or all things of faith and love, for these, as before said, constitute the Lord's kingdom. Because the 12 tribes signified all things of the Lord's kingdom, therefore also the 12 tribes by their encampments and also by their journeyings represented that kingdom. Concerning these we read in Moses that they should encamp according to the tribes around the tent of the assembly, toward the east Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun, toward the south Reuben, Simeon, and Gad, toward the west Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin, and toward the north, Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, and that as they encamped, so they journeyed. Numbers 2. That in this they represented the Lord's kingdom is very plain from the prophecy of Balaam. When Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he uttered his annunciation and said, How goodly are thy tabernacles, O Jacob, thy habitations, O Israel! As the valleys are they planted, as gardens by the riverside, as the line aloes which Yahuwah hath planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. Numbers 24, verses 2 to 6. That Balaam spoke these words from Yahuwah is expressly stated. Chapter 22, verses 8, 18, 19, 35, 38. 23 verses 5, 12, 16, 26. 24 verses 2 and 13. From all this it is evident what was represented by the inheritances of the land of Canaan according to the tribes, concerning which we read in Moses that Moses was to take the sum of the congregation of the sons of Israel according to their fathers' houses, from 20 years old, every one that went forth into the army of Israel, and that the land should be distributed by lot. According to the names of the tribes of their fathers should they receive inheritance. Numbers 26, verses 7 to 56, 33, verse 54, 34, verses 19 to 29. And that the land was divided by Joshua by lot according to the tribes. Joshua 13 and 15 to 19. That, as before said, the Lord's kingdom was thus represented is manifest from all the particulars, for the land of Canaan signifies this kingdom. See number 1585, 1607, 3038, 3481, 3705. The reason why the sons of Israel are called armies, and it is said that they should encamp according to their armies, and should journey according to their armies, Numbers 2, verses 4 to 30, is that an army signified the same, namely truths and goods. See number 3448. And the Lord is called Yahuwah Zebaoth, that is, Yahuwah of armies. Number 3448. Hence they were called the armies of Yahuwah when they went forth out of Egypt, as in Moses. It came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the armies of Yahweh went out from the land of Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 41. It must be evident to everyone that they who were of such a quality in Egypt and afterwards in the desert were called the armies of Yahweh only representatively, for they were in no good or truth, being the worst of all nations. From the same ground it is very plain what is signified by the names of the 12 tribes in Aaron's breastplate, which was called the Urim and the Thummim, concerning which we read in Moses that there should be 4 rows therein, that there should be 12 stones, and these stones according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, and that the engravings of a signet should be to each over its name for the 12 tribes. Exodus 28, verse 21, 39, verse 14. For Aaron represented the Lord's divine priesthood, for which reason all the things with which he was invested signified divine celestial and spiritual things. But what they signified will of the Lord's divine mercy appear where they are treated of. In the breastplate itself, inasmuch as it was most holy, there were representations of all things that are of love and faith in the Lord. These are the Urim and the Thummim. The reason why the names were engraved on precious stones was that stones in general signify truths, number 1298, 3720, and precious stones, truths which are transparent from good, number 114. And as the names of the several tribes signified the quality, therefore a particular kind of stone was assigned for each tribe, Exodus 28, verses 17 to 20, 39, verses 8 and 10 to 13, which stone by its color and transparency expressed the quality that was signified by each tribe. Hence it was that Yahweh, or the Lord, gave answers by the Urim and the Thummim. By the 2 onyx stones that were on the 2 shoulders of the ephod were represented the same, but in a lesser degree than by the 12 stones on the breastplate. For the shoulders signified all power, thus the omnipotence of the Lord, number 1085. But the breast, or the heart and lungs, signified divine celestial and spiritual love, the heart divine celestial love, and the lungs divine spiritual love, as may be seen above, number 3635. And at the end of this chapter, where the grand man is treated of, and its correspondence with the province of the heart and with that of the lungs. Concerning the 2 stones on the shoulder of the ephod, we read in Moses, Thou shalt take 2 onyx stones and grave on them the names of the sons of Israel, 6 of their names on the 1 stone, and the names of the 6 that remain on the other stone, according to their generations. Thou shalt put the 2 stones upon the shoulders of the ephod, stones of memorial for the sons of Israel. Exodus 28, verses 9, 10, and 12. 39, verses 6 and 7. Because the tribe signified what is of truth and good, or of faith and love, and each tribe signified some universal thereof, and the tribe of Levi signified love, as will appear from the explication of verse 34 of this chapter, it may from this be known what was signified by placing rods, one for each tribe, in the tent of assembly, and by Levi's rod alone blossoming with almonds, concerning which we read in Moses. Take 12 rods, 1 rod for each head of their fathers' houses, and let them be left in the tent of meeting. And thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi. And the rod of Aaron was in the midst of the rods. On the morrow, behold, the rod of Aaron for the tribe of Levi blossomed, and brought forth a blossom, so that the flower flowered, and bare almonds. Numbers 17, verses 2 to 8. This signified that love is the essential and the principle of all things in the Lord's kingdom, and that from it is all fructification. The reason why Aaron's name was upon it was that Aaron represented the Lord as to his divine priesthood, that by the Lord's priesthood is signified the divine good, which is of his love and mercy, and by the Lord's royalty, the divine truth, which is from the divine good, may be seen above, number 1728, 2015, 3670. From what has now been adduced, it may be seen what tribes and 12 tribes signify in the following passages. In John, I heard the number of them which were sealed, 144,000, sealed out of every tribe of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Naphtali were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Revelation 7, verses 4 to 8. In Moses, remember the days of eternity, understand the years of generation and generation, when the Most High gave to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of man, he set the bounds of the peoples according to the number of the sons of Israel. Deuteronomy 32, verses 7 and 8. In David, Jerusalem is built as a city which is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of Yah, a testimony unto Israel, to confess unto the name of Yahuwah. Psalm 122, verses 3 and 4. In Joshua, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth before you into Jordan. Take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, when the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of Yahuwah, the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off, they shall stand in one heap. 3, verses 11 to 13. Again, take out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priests' feet stood ready, 12 stones, and carry them over with you, every man a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign that the waters of Jordan were cut off. Moreover, Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant stood. 4, verses 3 to 9. Again, Elisha took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Yahuwah came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And he built an altar in the name of Yahuwah. First Book of Kings 18, verses 31 and 32. That tribes signify the goods of love and truths of faith is evident also from the Lord's words in Matthew. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and glory. 24, verse 30, whereby all the tribes of the earth mourning is signified that there would no longer be any acknowledgement of truth and of the life of good, for the subject treated of is the consummation of the age. In like manner, in John, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn because of him. Revelation 1, verse 7. What is signified by coming in the clouds of heaven may be seen in the preface to the 18th chapter. See further what was shown me from experience concerning 12, number 21, 29, 21, 30. The reason why all things of faith and love are called tribes is that the same expression in the original tongue signifies also a scepter and a staff. That a scepter and also a staff signifies power will of the Lord's divine mercy be shown elsewhere. Hence the name tribe involves in it that goods and truths have within them all power from the Lord. For this reason also the angels are called powers and likewise sovereignties, for princes signify the primary things of charity and faith, as do the 12 princes descended from Ishmael. Genesis 25, verse 16. See number 2089, 3272. And also the princes who presided over the tribes. Numbers 7, 13, verses 4 to 16. From what has been hitherto said concerning the 12 tribes, it may be known why the Lord's disciples, who were afterwards called apostles, were 12 in number, and that they represented the church of the Lord as to goods and truths in like manner as did the tribes. Number 21, 29, 33, 54, 34, 88, 38, 57. That Peter represented faith, James charity, and John the works of charity, may be seen above, preface to chapter 18 and to chapter 22, also number 3750. This likewise is very plain from what the Lord said concerning them and to them. 3859, verse 32. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, Because Yahuwah hath seen my affliction, for now my man will love me. And Leah conceived and bare a son, signifies spiritual conception and birth from what is external to what is internal. And she called his name Reuben, signifies the quality thereof which is described. For she said, Because Yahuwah hath seen, signifies in the supreme sense foresight, in the internal sense faith, in the interior sense understanding, in the external sense sight, and in the present case faith from the Lord. My affliction signifies a state of arriving at good. For now my man will love me, signifies that hence would come the good of truth. 3860. And Leah conceived and bare a son. That this signifies spiritual conception and birth from what is external to what is internal, it is evident from the signification of conceiving and bearing, as in the internal sense being to be regenerated. For the man who is being regenerated is conceived and born anew, wherefore regeneration is called a new birth, but spiritual. Man is indeed born of his parents as a man, but he does not become a man until he is reborn of the Lord. Spiritual and celestial life is that which makes a man, for this distinguishes him from brute animals. It is this spiritual conception and birth which is signified in the word by the conceptions and births mentioned therein, and by what is here said, that Leah conceived and bare a son. That the generations and nativities are those of faith and love which they signify, see above number 613, 1145, 1255, 2020, 2584, 3856. That these conceptions and births take place from what is external to what is internal is signified by Leah conceiving and bearing. For by Leah is represented the affection of external truth, number 3793, 3819, and by Reuben the truth of faith, which is the first of regeneration, and the external from which regeneration commences. How the case herein is will appear from what follows concerning the children of Jacob by Leah and Rachel. 3861. And she called his name Reuben. That this signifies the quality thereof which is described is evident from the signification of name and of calling a name as being quality. See number 144, 145, 1754, 1896, 2009, 2724, 3006, 3321. The quality itself is described by the words, Yahuwah hath seen my affliction, for now my man will love me, which are Reuben. That all the names in the word signify actual things has been often shown above, number 12, 24, 12, 64, 1876, 1888, and that the ancients gave names significative of states, see number 340, 1946, 2643, 3422. That here the names of all the sons of Jacob signify the universals of the church will be shown. A real universal has also been put into the name of each. But what universal, it is impossible for anyone to know unless he knows what is involved in the internal sense of the expressions from which each one was called. As for instance in the expression, hath seen, from which Reuben was named, in the expression, hath heard, from which Simeon was named, in the expression, will adhere, from which Levi was named, and in the expression, will confess, from which Judah was named, and so with regard to all the others. 3862. It has been shown above, number 3858, that the 12 tribes signified all things of truth and good, or of faith and love, and as the sons of Jacob from whom the tribes were named are now treated of one by one, therefore another arcanum is here to be opened, namely, what is involved in them. That all celestial and spiritual heat, or love and charity, is perceived in external form in heaven as a flaming from the sun, and that all celestial and spiritual light, or faith, in the external form in heaven appears as light from the sun. Also, that this celestial and spiritual heat has within it wisdom, and that the light therefrom has within it intelligence, and this because they are from the Lord, who is there the sun, may be seen above. Number 1053, 1521 to 1533, 1619 to 1632, 2441, 2495, 2776, 3138, 3167, 3190, 3195, 3222, 3223, 3338, 3339, 3341, 3413, 3485, 3636, 3643. From this it is evident that all good is from the heat, which is from the Lord as a sun, and that all truth is from the light therefrom. And it is further evident that all affections which are of love or good are variations of that celestial and spiritual heat which is from the Lord, and that thence come the changes of state. And that all thoughts which are of faith or truth are variegations of that celestial and spiritual light which is from the Lord, and that thence comes intelligence. In this heat and light are all the angels in heaven, and their affections and thoughts are from no other source, and are nothing else. This is manifest from their speech, which in consequence of this origin consists of variegations or modifications of celestial light, within which there is celestial heat, and is therefore also unutterable, and so various and full as to be beyond comprehension. Number 3342, 3344, 3345. In order that these things might be exhibited representatively in the world, such names were given to the several sons of Jacob as would signify the universals of good and truth, or of love and faith, thus universals in respect to the variations of celestial and spiritual heat, and as to the variegations of the derivative light. The very order of these universals is that which determines the flame and its derivative resplendence. When the order begins from love, everything which follows thence in genuine order appears flaming. But when the order begins from faith, everything which follows in genuine order appears lucid, but with every difference according to the things which follow. But if the order in which they follow is not genuine, everything appears obscure with every difference. Concerning this order and the difference thence resulting, of the Lord's divine mercy something shall be said hereafter. This explains how it was that the Lord gave answers by the Urim and the Thummim, and that according to the state of the matter in question, they received answers by means of lights and their radiance from the precious and pellucid stones on which were inscribed the names of the 12 tribes. For as before said, on the names were inscribed the universals of love and faith in the Lord's kingdom, consequently the universals of flame and light, whereby the things of love and faith are represented in heaven. It may therefore be first confirmed from the word that the order in which the names of the tribes are mentioned is various in the word, and this in accordance with the state of the subject treated of. And that from this it may be known that the answers from the Lord given by the Urim and the Thummim were shinings forth of light according to the state of the matter in question from order. For all the light of heaven varies according to the states of the subject, and the states of the subject vary according to the order of good and truth. But what of truth and good is signified by each son of Jacob will be seen from the explication, namely, that by Reuben is signified faith from the Lord, by Simeon, faith of the will, which is from the Lord, by Levi, spiritual love or charity, by Judah, the divine of love, and the Lord's celestial kingdom. What is signified by the eight remaining sons will be stated in the following chapter. Their order according to birth is what is here described, which is as follows. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. See verses 32 to 35 of this chapter, and verses 6, 8, 11, 13, 18, 20, 24 of chapter 30, and verse 18 of chapter 35. This order is according to the state of the subject here treated of, which is the regeneration of man. For in this case the commencement is from the truth of faith, which is Reuben, and progression is thence made to willing what is true, which is Simeon, and thence to charity, which is Levi, thus to the Lord, who in the supreme sense is represented by Judah. That spiritual conception and birth, or regeneration, proceeds from what is external to what is internal, was stated above, number 3860, that is, from the truth of faith to the good of love. Previous to Jacob's coming to his father Isaac in Mamre, Kiriath Arba, the 12 sons are named in the following order: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher. Genesis 35, verses 23 to 26, in which enumeration the sons born of Leah and Rachel are named first, and last those born of the handmaids, and this according to the state of the subject they are treated of. They are enumerated in a still different order when they journeyed and came to Egypt, Genesis 46, verses 9 to 19, and in another order when they were blessed by Jacob, at that time Israel, before his death, Genesis 49, verses 3 to 27, and in another when they were blessed by Moses, Deuteronomy 33, verses 6 to 24. They were in the following order when they encamped around the tent of assembly: to the east, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun; to the south, Reuben, Simeon, Gad; to the west, Ephraim, Manasseh, Benjamin; to the north, Dan, Asher, Naphtali. Numbers 2. In what order they stood for blessing the people on Mount Gerizim and for cursing on Mount Ebal may be seen in Deuteronomy 27, verses 12 and 13. When the princes chosen from each tribe were sent to explore the land, they are enumerated in this order: Reuben, Simeon, Judah, Issachar, Ephraim, Benjamin, Zebulun, Joseph or Manasseh, Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Gad. Numbers 13, verses 4 to 16. But the princes who were to give the land for inheritance are enumerated in another order: Numbers 34, verses 19 to 29. In what order the lot was cast and came forth when the land was given for inheritance may be seen in Joshua 13 to 19. When in Ezekiel the boundaries of the new or holy land which the tribes were to inherit are described, they are mentioned in this order: Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Judah, Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, Gad. All from the corner eastward to the corner of the sea or west, except Gad, who was at the corner of the south toward the south, 48 verses 2 to 8 and 23 to 26. And when treating of the gates of the new or holy city, they are mentioned in this order: toward the north three gates of Reuben, Judah, and Levi; toward the east three gates of Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan; toward the south three gates of Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun; toward the west three gates of Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. Ezekiel 48, verses 31 to 34. The order of those who were sealed, 12,000 out of every tribe, may be seen in Revelation 7, verses 5 to 8. In all these passages, the enumeration of the tribes is altogether according to the state of the specific subject that is being treated of, to which the order corresponds, this state being seen from the things that precede and that follow. What was the order of the precious stones in the Urim and Thummim is mentioned and described in the word, but to what tribe each stone corresponded is not mentioned, for for the stones represented all things of light from celestial flame, that is, all things of truth from good, or all things of faith from love. And because they had this representation, celestial light itself shone through in a miraculous manner, in accordance with the state of the subject concerning which there was question and answer, being glowing and shining for an affirmative of what was good and true, together with variegations of colors according to the differences of the state of that which was good and true. Just as takes place in heaven, where all celestial and spiritual things are expressed by means of lights and their differences, and this in a manner ineffable and altogether incomprehensible by man. For as before shown, within celestial light there is life from the Lord, consequently wisdom and intelligence. And therefore in the differences of the light there is everything that belongs to the life of truth, that is, everything that belongs to wisdom and intelligence. And in the differences of the flame and of its glowing and resplendence, there is everything that belongs to the life of good and to the life of truth from good, or to love to the Lord and the derivative faith. Such were the Urim and Thummim that were on the breastplate of the ephod and on the heart of Aaron, as is also evident from the fact that the words Urim and Thummim mean lights and perfections, and that the breastplate on which they were placed was called the breastplate of judgment, because judgment is intelligence and wisdom. Number 22:35. The reason why this was on Aaron's heart was that by the heart is signified the divine love. See above Number 36:35 and at the end of this chapter. Hence those precious stones were in settings of gold, for in the internal sense gold is the good of love. Number 113, 1551, 1552. And precious stone, the truth that is transparent from good. Number 114. Concerning the Urim and Thummim, we read in Moses, "Thou shalt make a breastplate of judgment, a work of designing, like the work of the ephod thou shalt make it, of gold, of blue, and of crimson, and of scarlet double dyed, and of fine twined linen, shalt thou make it. Foursquare it shall be doubled, and thou shalt set in it settings of stone, four rows of stone shall there be, sockets of gold shall there be in their settings, and the stone shall be according to the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, the engravings of a signet, every one according to his name. They shall be for the 12 tribes." Exodus 28:15-17 and 20:39-14. The stones that were to be in each row are also there designated. And further, "The breastplate shall not depart from off the ephod, and Aaron shall bear the names of the sons of Israel in the breastplate upon his heart, when he goeth in unto the holy place, for a memorial before Yahuwah continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before Yahuwah. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the sons of Israel upon his heart before Yahuwah continually." Exodus 28:28-30, Leviticus 8:7-8. That Yahuwah or the Lord was inquired of and gave answers by means of the Urim may be seen in Moses. "Yahuwah said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, and thou shalt put of thy glory upon him, that all the congregation of the sons of Israel may obey. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, and he shall inquire for him in the judgment of the Urim before Yahuwah." Numbers 27:18-20 and 21. And in Samuel, "Saul inquired of Yahuwah, and Yahuwah answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." 1 Samuel 28:6. 3:8-3. For she said, "Because Yahuwah hath seen." That in the supreme sense this signifies foresight, in the internal sense faith, in the interior sense understanding, and in the external sense sight, in the present case faith from the Lord, is evident from the signification of seeing concerning which and what follows. From what has been said above, it may be seen that the 12 tribes named from the 12 sons of Jacob signified all things of truth and good, or of faith and love, thus all things of the church, and that each tribe signified some universal. Thus the 12 tribes signified the 12 universals which comprehend and include within them all things whatsoever that belong to the church, and in the universal sense all things that belong to the Lord's kingdom. The universal which Reuben signifies is faith. The reason why faith is the first universal is that when man is being regenerated or becoming a church, he must first learn and become imbued with the things of faith, that is, of spiritual truth, for he is introduced by means of the doctrine of faith, or of truth. For man is of such a nature that of himself he does not know what celestial good is, but must learn it from doctrine, which is called the doctrine of faith. Every doctrine of faith regards life as the end, and therefore good, for good is life. It was a controverted point among the ancients which was the firstborn of the church, the truth which is of faith, or the good which is of love. They who maintained that the truth which is of faith is the firstborn argued from the external appearance, and determined this to be the first because truth is and ought to be first learned, and because by means of it man is introduced to good. But they knew not that good is essentially the firstborn, and that it is insinuated by the Lord through the internal man, in order that it may adopt and receive the truth which is introduced through the external man. Nor were they aware that in good there is life from the Lord, and that in truth there is no life but that which it has through good. Thus that good is the soul of truth, and appropriates to itself and puts on truth as the soul does its body. From this we can see that according to the external appearance, truth is in the first place, and is as it were the firstborn while man is being regenerated, although good is essentially in the first place, and is the firstborn, and is placed first when man has been regenerated. That this is the case may be seen above, number 3539, 3548, 3556, 3563, 3570, 3576, 3603. 3701. As the subject treated of in this chapter and in those which precede is the regeneration of the natural, and here its first state, which is that of introduction by means of truth to good, therefore the first son of Jacob or Reuben was named from Yahweh seeing, which in the internal sense signifies faith from the Lord. Regarded in itself, faith is a faith in the understanding and a faith in the will. To know and understand the truth which is of faith is called faith in the understanding, but to will the truth which is of faith is called faith in the will. Faith in the understanding is that which is signified by Reuben, but faith in the will is what is signified by Simeon. That faith in the understanding, or the understanding of truth, precedes faith in the will, or the willing of truth, must be evident to everyone. For when anything is unknown to man, such as celestial good, he must first know that it exists and understand what it is before he can will it. That in the external sense to see signifies sight is evident without explication. And that in the interior sense to see signifies understanding may also be evident. For the sight of the internal man is nothing else than understanding, and therefore in common discourse understanding is called internal sight, and light is predicated of it as of external sight, and is called intellectual light. That in the internal sense to see denotes faith from the Lord is evident from the fact that the interior understanding has no other objects than those which are of truth and good, for these are the objects of faith. This interior understanding or internal sight, which has for its objects the truths which are of faith, does not manifest itself so much as does the understanding which has for its objects the truths of civic and moral life, for the reason that it is within the latter and is in the light of heaven, which light is in obscurity so long as man is in the light of the world. Nevertheless, with those who have been regenerated, it reveals itself, especially by conscience. That in the supreme sense to see is foresight must be evident, for the intelligence which is predicated of the Lord is infinite intelligence, which is nothing else than foresight. That seeing, from which Reuben was named, in the internal sense signifies faith from the Lord, is manifest from very many passages in the Word, of which the following may be adduced. Yahuwah said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a standard, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, and shall see it, shall live. Moses made a serpent of brass, and set it upon a standard, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, and he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived again. Numbers 21, verses 8 and 9. That the brazen serpent represented the Lord as to the external, sensuous, or natural, may be seen above, number 197, and that brass signifies the natural, number 425, 1551. That faith in him was represented by the living again of those who saw or looked upon it, the Lord himself teaches in John. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. 3 verses 14 and 15. In Isaiah, the Lord said, Go and say unto this people, Hearing, hear ye, but do not understand, and seeing, see ye, and do not know. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and their heart should understand. 6 verses 9 and 10. That seeing and not knowing here signifies understanding what is true and yet not acknowledging it is manifest, and that blinding the eyes lest they should see with their eyes signifies depriving them of the understanding of truth, and that seeing here signifies faith in the Lord is evident from the Lord's words in Matthew 13, verses 13 and 14, and in John 12, verses 36, 37, 39, and 40. In Ezekiel, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of the house of rebellion, who have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, and hear not. 12, verse 2. Having eyes to see but not seeing signifies that they were able to understand the truths of faith but were not willing, and this because of evils, which are the house of rebellion, inducing a deceptive light on falsities and darkness on truths, according to these words in Isaiah. This is a people of rebellion, lying sons, sons that would not hear the law of Yahuwah, who have said to the seers, See not, and to them that have vision, See not for us right things, speak to us smooth things, see illusions. 30 verses 9 and 10. Again, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. 9 verse 2. Where seeing a great light signifies receiving and believing the truths which are of faith. On those who are in faith, celestial light is said to shine, for the light which is in heaven is divine truth from divine good. Again, Yahuwah hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your heads, the seers, hath he covered. Isaiah 29, verse 10. To close the eyes denotes to close the understanding of truth. That the eye denotes the understanding, see above, number 2701. Covering the seers denotes to cover those who know and teach the truths of faith. Seers were formerly called prophets, and that prophets denote those who teach and also the truths of doctrine may be seen above, number 2534. Again, the priest and the prophet err through strong drink. They err among the seers. They stumble in judgment. Isaiah 28, verse 7, where the sense is the same, that the judgment wherein they stumble is the truth of faith, may be seen above, number 2235. Again, the eyes of them that see shall not be closed, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Isaiah 32, verse 3. Again, thine eyes shall behold the king in his beauty, they shall see the land of far distances. Isaiah 33, verse 17. To behold the king in beauty denotes the truths of faith which are from the Lord, which are called beautiful from good. To see the land of far distances denotes the good of love. That a king is the truth of faith may be seen above number 1672, 2015, 2069, 3009, 3670. That beautiful is predicated from good, number 553, 3080, 3821. And that land is the good of love, number 620, 636, 3368, 3379. In Matthew, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. 5 verse 8, where it is manifest that to see God is to believe in him, thus to see him by faith. For they who are in faith, from faith, see God, because God is in faith, and is that in faith which constitutes true faith. Again, if thine eye causeth thee to stumble, pluck it out. For it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes, to be cast into the Gehenna of fire. 17 verse 9. That in this passage the eye does not mean the eye, and that it is not to be plucked out, is manifest, for this does not cause to stumble. But the understanding of truth, which is here meant by the eye, number 2701. That it is better not to know and apprehend the truths of faith than to know and apprehend them and yet live a life of evil is signified by its being better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into the Gehenna of fire. In the same, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Verily I say unto you that many prophets and just men have desired to see the things which ye see, but did not see them. 13 verses 16 and 17, John 12 verse 40. Seeing here denotes knowing and understanding the things which are of faith in the Lord, thus faith. For they were not blessed because they saw the Lord and saw his miracles, but because they believed, as may be seen from these words in John. I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one who seeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life. Not that any one hath seen the Father, save he that is with the Father, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath eternal life. 6 verses 36, 40, 46, and 47. Seeing and not believing denotes knowing the truths of faith and not receiving them. Seeing and believing denotes knowing and receiving them. No one having seen the Father save he that is with the Father denotes that divine good cannot be acknowledged except by means of divine truth. That the Father is divine good and the Son divine truth may be seen above number 3704. Hence the internal sense is that no one can have celestial good unless he acknowledges the Lord. In like manner in the same evangelist, no one hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 1 verse 18. And again, Jesus said, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth in me should not abide in darkness. 12 verses 45 and 46, where it is said plainly that to see is to believe or to have faith. Again, Jesus said, if ye had known me, ye would have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. 14 verses 7 and 9. Again, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. I will not leave you orphans, I come unto you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. 14 verses 17 to 19. Where seeing signifies having faith, for the Lord is seen only by faith, because faith is the eye of love, the Lord being seen by love through faith, and love being the life of faith. Wherefore it is said, Ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Again, Jesus said, For judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not may see, and that they who see may be made blind. The Pharisees said, Are we also blind? Jesus said unto them, If ye were blind, ye would not have sin. But now ye say, We see. Therefore your sin remaineth. 9:39-41. Here they who see denote those who imagine themselves to be more intelligent than others, concerning whom it is said that they should be made blind, that is, should not receive faith. That not to see or to be blind is predicated of those who are in falsities and also of those who are in ignorance may be seen above number 2383. In Luke, Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not hear. 8:10. Again, I say unto you, there be some standing here who shall not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God. 9:27, Mark 9:1. To see the kingdom of God denotes to believe. Again, Jesus said unto his disciples, The days shall come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but ye shall not see. 17:22. Where the consummation of the age or last time of the church is treated of, when there is no longer any faith. Again, It came to pass when Jesus sat down with them that he took the bread and blessed, and breaking gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him. 24:30-31. By which was signified that the Lord appears by good, but not by truth without good, for bread is the good of love. Number 276, 680, 2165, 2177, 3478, 3735, 3813. From these and other passages it is evident that seeing in the internal sense signifies faith from the Lord, for there is no other faith which is faith than that which comes from the Lord. This also enables man to see, that is, to believe. But faith from self or from what is man's proprium is not faith, for it causes him to see falsities as truths and truths as falsities. And if he sees truths as truths, still he does not see, because he does not believe, for he sees himself in them and not the Lord. That to see is to have faith in the Lord is very plain from what has been frequently said above concerning the light of heaven, namely that being from the Lord, it is attended with intelligence and wisdom, consequently with faith in him. For faith in the Lord is inwardly within intelligence and wisdom. Wherefore to see from that light, as angels do, can signify nothing else than faith in the Lord. The Lord himself also is in that light, because it proceeds from him. It is that light also which shines within the conscience of those who have faith in the Lord, although while he lives in the body, the man is unaware of the fact, for it is then obscured by the light of the world. 3864. My affliction, namely because Yahuwah hath seen. That this signifies a state of arriving at good is evident from the signification of affliction as being temptation, number 1846. And because this is the means of arriving at good, my affliction here signifies a state of coming from truth, which is external, and of arriving at good, which is internal. 3865. For now my man will love me. That this signifies that hence would come the good of truth is evident from the signification of will love as being the good therefrom. For all good is of love, and is therefore here signified by loving, and from the signification of man as being truth, number 3134. What the good of truth is has often been explained above, namely, that it is the affection of truth for the sake of life. For life is the good which is regarded in the truth by those who are afterwards regenerated. Without a life according to truth, no conjunction of truth with good is effected, consequently no appropriation. Everyone can plainly see this by directing his attention to those who live ill and to those who live well. They who live ill, even though like others they have been instructed during childhood and youth in the doctrines of the Church, are nevertheless found on examination to believe nothing at all concerning the Lord, or concerning faith in him and the truths of the Church. Whereas they who live well have every one of them faith in the truths which they believe to be truths. They, however, who teach truths, as do the overseers of the Church, and live ill, may indeed profess to believe, yet still at heart they do not believe. With some of these there is a persuasion which has the semblance of faith, amounting to no more than a mere scientific confirmed, not because it is truth, but because it is expedient to make profession of it for the sake of one's office, honor, and gain. This penetrates no deeper than through the ears into the memory, and from the memory it goes forth into the lips, but not into the heart, and from this into confession. From this it is evident that it is the life which shows the quality of the acknowledgement of truth, that is, the quality of the faith, and that it is faith separated from the good of life which declares that however a man lives, he may nevertheless be saved through grace, and which argues against the doctrine that everyone's life remains with him after death. 3866. From the internal sense of the words which Leah uttered concerning Reuben at his birth, Yahuwah hath seen mine affliction, for now my man will love me, it may be seen what of the church Reuben signifies, or the tribe which took its name from Reuben, namely, that which is the first of regeneration, or which is the first when man is becoming a church, and that this is the truth of doctrine whereby he may attain to the good of life.